Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Last month, in the midst of the widespread protests against police brutality and for racial justice, we spoke with Shannon Ryan. She's a sports writer with the Chicago Tribune, and she'd written a story on how the University of Illinois football coaching staff had become a model of diversity for collegiate football programs. In a sport where black football players make up nearly half of the rosters, black coaches lead just 9% of programs. Head coach Lovie Smith, meanwhile, has built the most racially diverse coaching staff in top-tier college football with 8 black coaches. Back in May, Ashton Washington was hired as director of high school relations, the first black woman with a full-time staff job in the history of the Illini football program. And as the football season nears, the sport is again in the spotlight for reasons unrelated to on-field play. Players continue to speak up for racial justice, and just last week, the NFL team in Washington, D.C. announced it would finally change its name, which for years has been criticized as derogatory and offensive toward Native Americans. Here now is my conversation with Shannon Ryan from the Chicago Tribune. So, Shannon, how big of an issue? Let's sort of take the big picture here. How big of an issue is racial diversity in college football?
Well, I think it's a pretty big one, especially when you look at it from a historic scope of the way, if you look at the history of football or sports in general and how segregated it was for a long time. And then, you know, we've seen progress through decades and decades of players, you know, that used to be shut out of certain positions. Now, you know, you look at the NFL and you see there are black quarterbacks where that was definitely something that was off limits decades ago, or not even that long ago, that was really uncommon. But when you look at the coaching positions, and it's something that's been talked about so long, year after year, and rules have been put in place at the NFL level, and it doesn't seem to budget all that much. But at the college level, it's just really interesting to see what Lovie Smith at Illinois has kind of quietly done, which is his way, for people who know him, pretty reserved and soft-spoken guy, but he says he's about action, and he wants to give opportunities to young black coaches by putting them in a position so they can move forward through this hierarchy of how hirings usually happen, which is usually you're a position coach, then you move on to a coordinator role, and coordinators become head coaches. But that hasn't been a linear path really for black coaches in the profession. So he's really trying to open up doors by providing these opportunities. And you look at Lovie Smith is just one of 14 African-American coaches out of 130 FBS teams. So, I mean, the numbers are still pretty low there. And, you know, he's hoping that when he's finished with coaching, whenever that would be, you know, that there's that there'll be a change there, and maybe he'll have helped open doors for other coaches.
Yeah, and with more than a half dozen potential, you know, a decade or two down the line, people who are now in the pipeline to be head coach. So you spoke with Lovie Smith at length in your reporting, and you talk about his own journey as a player from Texas to his first opportunity as a coach. Can you walk us through a little bit about how his experience helped shape the program that he's built at Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting just he's a Texas guy from a small town in Texas, and like every kid in Texas is obsessed with the Cowboys. And, you know, but he was telling me how he loved Tom Landry, but he didn't think he couldn't identify with Tom Landry in some ways. He didn't look like him. And Lovie Smith wanted to be a coach and loved football. And he played football, was a coach for almost 25 years before he was ever on a team as a player or coach with a black head coach. And that's when he joined Tony Dungy's Buccaneer staff in 1996, and Lovie Smith was a linebackers coach then, and that was the only time he's ever experienced that. So, I mean, that's kind of telling in its own right. But if you look at Tony Dungy's coaching tree, I mean, he had a really hard time himself, despite prior success, being extremely qualified. Tony Dungy, you know, breaking into getting a head coaching job at the time, and I think, you know, you look at Tony Dungy now, his coaching tree does have, like Lovie Smith, has guys who have gone on, black coaches, to become head coaches. Herm Edwards, who's now the Arizona State head coach, and he also has brought on a lot of black assistant coaches onto his staff. But I think that experience of working for Tony Dungy and seeing how he was so committed to providing equal opportunities, giving guys a chance who are often overlooked, that had a huge impact on Lovie Smith and being one of the benefactors of getting a chance like that.
Yeah, and can you talk a little bit more about Tony Dungy and sort of his coaching and hiring philosophy and what, you know, that suggests about giving opportunities for young Black coaches?
Well, yeah, I mean, now he's regarded as one of the best, I think, but you go back and you see he was a guy who, like a lot of Black coaches at the time, just weren't getting the opportunity there. And I think the thing that stands out about it to me, too, I mean, this is kind of the conversation I've had with a lot of people who struggle to see the issue, I think, who have emailed me or talked to me about this. But, you know, you look at the pool of players and who becomes coaches. The pool of players, I mean, right now in FBS football teams, it's almost half of the players are Black. And most of the people who become coaches are former players. So, I mean, it does seem, and this is kind of something Lovie Smith said too, it just seems like common sense that if you're a Black former player, you'd be getting these chances. So, you know, I think a lot of people who want to make the argument of color shouldn't matter and you just hire the most qualified person, but why make it political? These are kind of the arguments I hear from people, but, you know, sports has always been political. It's always kept certain people out or pigeonholed certain people into positions. And I think Tony Dungy had a big role in helping change that. And I think Lovie Smith being around that, seeing other guys get an opportunity. I mean, Lovie Smith said he took a pay cut to join Tony Dungy's staff because he was an assistant at Ohio State. He was actually making more money in college, but went to an NFL team just to have that opportunity to be on a staff and be led by another Black man, a Black coach, was really valuable to him. So, you know, you can kind of see now how that's worked through the way Lovie practices as well.
Shannon, so often in sports, success is measured in wins and losses. And by that standard, the Illinois football team has not been at the top of the standings, really, although there has been improvement over the past few seasons. But how much is success in things like building a program of racial inclusion and, you know, positively affecting the lives of student athletes overlooked? And you know, does that ultimately play into a more successful program by, you know, the metric that gets measured on, you know, in the standings?
Well, I mean, this is kind of an issue. I think any coach on any team, regardless of their race, will tell you that you have a very short window to win these days. I mean, you see it all the time. I mean, coaches do not get a lot of time to turn a program around. I think that's one of the things that Illinois, they have been really committed to letting Lovie Smith have the time, I think, to try to rebuild it. I think it's important to keep in mind when he took over, the program was at a really, really low point. I mean, just speaking about Illinois specifically for a minute here, is the former coach, there was a lot of accusations about player mistreatment. And there was a lot of scandal about, you know, making players play who were injured. And that coach was fired. So, I mean, the program, they had a ton of turnover at Illinois, athletic directors, coaches. So it was really a program with a ton of turmoil. And I think it was really important for Illinois to exercise, I guess, this patience with Lovie Smith. And they got back to a bowl game for the first time in like a decade this year. Didn't win, but you see they are showing some improvement. And, you know, that's how everything is measured here. And I don't think Lovie Smith would disagree that they've got to do better. That no matter who you hire, you know, the end of the story here is, did you win or lose the game? And that's just how it is in sports. But I think, you know, one of the people I talked to in a story was mentioning about how, you know, really it's just to the idea of diversifying just in any business. It's good for business. I mean, this isn't just a selfless mission for Lovie Smith in some ways, because if you cast a wider net for hiring people, maybe think outside the box, you might get better candidates or candidates who offer something. But I think one of the things a lot of these experts or people in the coaching profession have told me is one of the reasons that coaching has remained so, head coaching has gone to white coaches so much, is there's just these recycled names that get rehired and rehired despite a lack of success or, you know, success or not, they're the same names kind of keep coming through. And you see this, I've done stories about this in college basketball too. I think you see it in the NFL, you see it in college football, where there are a lot of cases where you see, and Black coaches will tell you that if you have a rough season and you're fired, you know, the second, third chances aren't there the same way they might be for white coaches. And there is this really pressure. This is something Herm Edwards was telling me in the story, is there's just this pressure packed time. I've got to nab the next guy to hire and build this staff so quickly. Everything's so quick in sports and so competitive, that sometimes you are going to overlook, or you're scared to make the wrong move. Or in college football, so much of it has to do with pleasing donors and pleasing the boosters. And who are those people? Are they going to be happy with the, you know, you having such a diverse staff? And I have to say, you know, I've been pretty pleased with Illinois fans who seem to be, who I've heard from, who are pretty on board with what Lovie Smith's doing there. But it's a pretty complex issue with a lot of history to it.
You know, I want to ask about how this affects the students. You write that racial representation can be profound for athletes of color, particularly in the nation's current climate. And you also report on Illinois running back Levon Bonner, who recently used his platform to speak up against racial injustice. I wonder if you can talk about those ideas.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the, something that's been overlooked for a long time. And I think we're finally seeing players have finding a voice and feeling more empowered to use that voice now. And I think you're seeing a lot of teams, I heard you at the beginning mentioning Oklahoma State and Iowa, where players feel they have some leverage now to voice concerns over maybe a lack of empathy or some cultural suppression by all white coaching staffs. Some of the things that happened at Iowa seemed pretty cruel, some of them, and some of them seemed like just these very massive blind spots, you know, rules about what you can wear. And, you know, I think so many college football coaches, it's run in this militaristic style of uniformity and these really strict rules on, you know, what your hair can look like and how you can dress. But I think there's, you see, there's a lack of understanding sometimes from a culture aspect when it comes to a coaching staff that is all white, that you're not going to understand those rules maybe don't apply equally to everybody or can be offensive to some people, or you're actually signaling out certain players in a way that maybe you're not even recognizing as a bias of yours. So, I mean, I think that's another aspect of just having a more diverse staff in sports when you are dealing with college players who a roster pretty diverse. I mean, that's one of the things people really, you know, who play sports will tell you. It's a benefit that you're interacting with people that come from all different backgrounds. And that's a real benefit to it. But it's important for the coaching staff to also have that understanding, or have different people who might bring something up or say that rule isn't going to go over so well with guys. And I think right now with the protests we're seeing and with athletes being so vocal about racial injustice issues, like Ravon Bonner and this, the Illinois player you mentioned, who has been speaking at rallies. I mean, he said he feels confident. He's not scared to go speak at a rally that his coach is going to get mad. He knows there's coaches who are going to understand why he feels that way. And there's probably a lot of guys on teams who wouldn't feel that comfortable on other teams.
All right. We're going to have to leave our conversation there. Shannon Ryan is a sports reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Shannon, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
That is all the time we have for today and all the time we have for this week. Before we go, I want to make a pitch for joining our texting group. It's called Text the 21st. We hear interesting things from listeners. We put out questions. Your responses help inform our coverage. You can join by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, the word is TALK to 217-803-0730. You can stay up to date with us on Twitter. Just search for 21st Show. That's 21st Show. We tweet out links with more analysis and background on what we've been talking about. All those links, every other way to contact us. You can leave us a voicemail, send us an email, or follow us on social media. It's all at our website, 21stshow.org. And we've got our past shows there. You can also find us most places you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR One. Just search for The 21st.
Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Eunice Alpesan's our engagement producer, and our intern is Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.